Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Monday afternoon. Look, it's beautiful, and you know we got to be positive. And look, I agree that Juwan Johnson has to let this go. You know, you make a mistake, you can't live with the mistake. What, you know, I always like to use football as a metaphor for life. You know, you make a mistake at work, and you can't dwell on that mistake. You get reprimanded by the boss, or you go into a sales call or something, and you didn't do well, and you screwed up. You can't dwell on that because that's going to hold you back. You've just got to move forward. So in moving forward, the San Francisco 49ers, fresh off their comeback win against the Seattle Seahawks, they come to town. They'll be in the Caesars Superdome this coming Sunday. And look, this is a great time for you to register to win two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes for the Bullseye Event Group. Now, I've been to this many times. It is really awesome. Premium food, premium beer and alcohol, and you can be full, and you can be a little buzzed, and you can just walk over to the dome from there, and it's just a great way to start the game. And you might not even care who wins the first quarter. No, I'm kidding about that. I mean, no, but nobody should get, you know, wasted or anything like that. But it's all free. If you win this, it's all free. And even if you don't win, it's not for everybody. And it might be a little pricey for some. Well, it is a little pricey for some people. But if you can afford it, it really is a great way to start your game day early. And have just great food and have beverages and then just walk over to the dome. It overlooks Champion Square and the dome, so you're right there. It's at Benson Tower. So you can go to VIP Tailgate Bullseye Event Group and find out more about that. But really, it's a really great event. And all you have to do to register to win the tickets to the Saints game and the VIP Tailgate Party is go to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S. wwl.com/contest with an S and register to win. Somebody's got to win. It might be you. And that's from Saints Radio, WWL.
You know, when I became the promotions director here kind of recently, I took a closer look at the fine print on those contests, and you can enter once per day.
Really?
So there's really no reason you shouldn't be entering once per day, because that really I think, especially now, like, most people aren't doing that. But if you're hearing this right now and you think, oh, I already entered that contest, enter it again tomorrow. Enter it again Wednesday. Enter it again Thursday. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. It takes 5 seconds.
Sure.
And then you can go to the Bullseye thing.
Yeah, you and I
have. You just talked about. We had a great time at the Bullseye event.
You and I have been there together.
We've been there. I'm out here drinking Grey Goose Bloody Marys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'd pay for that.
They got the good stuff.
At some other bar. And then they got all the good food, and then there's all kinds of stuff, like cool, you know, Saints helmets and uniforms and little bips and bobbles. They got a great auction going on up there.
They got a great DJ.
Yeah.
Music up there. Yeah. So it's fun. So,
and you get to overlook Champion Square. I mean, there's nothing like it. You really should be entering this contest every single day. I want to get those entry numbers up.
Okay.
We got to do better than we did last week.
Go to wwl.com/contest with an S, wwl.com/contest with an S, free tickets to the game and free passes to the VIP tailgate party from Bullseye Event Group. And it really is an amazing thing. Features celebrity chef Aaron May, and the food is delish. I mean, even if you're a vegetarian, you could find stuff to get by with. Hey, I ordered two soft drinks at the Dome yesterday. Two soft drinks, $21.
Brother.
Well, I wanted to get my money's worth. So you know what I did? I spilled a couple of them so I could go back and get free refills. Because they give you get free refills once you buy the cup. You can go back. And I thought that was so outrageous. I spilled two of them just so I could go back and get a third. I'll get a fourth. So I drank one, spilled two, and got a fourth. I mean, I wanted to get my money's worth out of that.
I think I have an Economics for Dummies book at
home.
That
might be for me.
I might lend you
I wanted to get my money's worth
then
out of it.
Then just drink the first one, man. Well, you don't have to dump it out.
Well, I did, but, you know, okay, so look, so let's say it was, so $10, about $10 for one drink.
Okay.
So, you know, if I do four, then that comes down to about $2 a drink.
See, that's better.
Okay, so that's why I spilled a couple
of
them.
Well, yeah, but you wasted all that soda. If you're thinking, I gotta get my money's, where did you spill it?
Well, I...
Don't
well,
tell me you just dumped out a 40-ounce cup of soda.
I wanted my money's worth.
I'm spilling this drink. I'm on the air.
I was on the front row, so it dripped down onto that, that mobilized cart that they have to pick up the players.
Man.
So I hope they didn't short out or anything. Well, they didn't use it. They didn't need it yesterday.
Well, they might need it next week.
Well, I hope they check it.
They're going to be like, they're going to cart him off the field, and they're like,
It seems like there's a problem with the cart. There's a problem with the cart. We're not sure what happened, but the cart has been stalled at the 25-yard line.
Well, folks, I've been broadcasting for 25 years, never seen anything like this.
Somebody's in agony on the cart, and it shorted out because I spilled the drink.
All because you couldn't stand.
I wanted my money's worth. And hey, listen, let's hear for the cheerleaders. You know, they don't really get much attention, and they work their butts off, and they smile. They smile all the time, and they do a great job right there in the corner. And, you know, I was in the corner, the first row of the end zone, and I saw all four groups of the cheerleaders, and again, they did a great job. So I enjoyed being there, and you know, we had hope until the very end, and it could have turned out differently, but it didn't. And you know, the Saints are in decent company because again, the Ravens are being talked about as a team expected to get to the Super Bowl and maybe win it. And they were a team that saw the Bills come back and beat them. And, you know, the Bills were scoring, but the Ravens were scoring like twice, and then the Bills would score. I didn't think the Bills were going to come back. But they did, and they won by 1 point. I think it was 41-40. So that was amazing. That was really cool. And by the way, I'm sure the guys are driving there right now. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier, the second guest show live on location, Silver Slipper Casino in beautiful Hancock County, Mississippi. And they'll talk about the Saints. They'll talk about LSU's, you know, kind of lackluster performance against Louisiana Tech, 23-7. But LSU should have rolled over Louisiana Tech. Tulane was down 14-0 and had to come back to beat South Alabama Jags in Mobile over the weekend. So that was good. And then at 6:30, it's going to be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas and the Cajun Cannon. And head coach Kellen Moore is going to talk to them, followed by defensive line coach Bo Davis. So all of this starts at 4 o'clock right after our show. And then at 7:30, catch Monday Night Football, the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears in Chicago. And that's on WWL and on the free Odyssey app. So, you know, I mean, we've had so much fun just talking about the Saints, even though it wasn't always a fun conversation. I hate to get into something political here, but, you know, there is something else I want to cover. We may talk about it later this week. I'll get to that in just a moment. But we've got some breaking sad news to report. Rick Davies of Supertramp has passed away. He's 81 years old. But, you know, a lot of those people, you know, I mean, Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney, they're over 80. I mean, 80's not 80 like it used to be when my parents were, you know, younger for my parents' generation. But Rick Davies, Supertramp, passes away at the age of 81. Oh, by the way, the new episodes of Wednesday are ready on Netflix. Wednesday, it's sort of an adult version of the Addams Family. I mean, it's not that there's a lot of sex in there, but it's violent. It's scary. It's not for kids. If you see Wednesday, you know, it's an adult version of the Addams Family focusing on the daughter Wednesday, and it's not for kids. It's not for kids. They released four episodes last month, and so the new episodes are available. So I'm going to check out that after Monday Night Football tonight.
I keep seeing the like crossover promotion that they're doing at Wendy's.
Yeah.
Like if you pull up in a Wendy's, they got all this like weird, like dark purple and black stuff. You get like these, Like you could get fries with like the dip of dread or something like that.
And you,
like,
they make it seem like it's for kids, but
I really thought it was a show for kids.
I watch Wednesday, and it's not for kids,
bro.
And by the way, last night watching the MTV Video Music Awards, yeah. Man, Lady Gaga freaked me out.
Yeah,
she was
doing that dead dance.
She was freaky. I mean, her movements and her eyes and the whole cast of dancers there. I think that was pre-recorded from her tour,
and
added to the show. But I'm telling you, man, Lady Gaga was absolutely creepy and freaky last night on the awards.
I didn't see the awards last night, but I saw some clips this morning. But you know what? I started watching Alien Earth last night on Hulu.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Alien franchise with Sigourney Weaver and all that. Well, now there's a TV show called Alien Earth. It's on. It's an FX production, but it's on Hulu. And brothers and sisters, that show rips. It
really?
Is so good. Way, way exceeded my expectations. I am loving Alien Earth. I'm telling you. It's smartly written. It's got great effects. It's scary. It's thrilling. It's got a great sort of sci-fi aesthetic to it. It's like the people that put this show together really wanted it to look cool. I don't know. I don't know a better way to put it than that. Like, it looks like it was set in the sort of like futuristic 1970s, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In the same way that the original Alien film was, you know, it's 200 years in the future, but everything very much looks like it's 1977.
Right.
That's the same space that they've put Alien Earth into, and they've done just a fantastic job with it. I can't recommend it enough. It's great TV. They really nailed it.
I might want to check that out. I'm not into sci-fi, but I enjoyed Alien, you know, the original. I thought that was pretty cool. I think I saw Alien 2 as well, and that was pretty good.
Oh, that's a good one.
Man, I don't even want to get into this Trump topic. You want to save
then
it until tomorrow? Let's save it till tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow.
You know, we have to do this tomorrow. This is not anti-Trump. This is just anti-bringing prayers back to public schools. And I'm not against praying. And kids can pray in school, but President Trump was speaking at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, and he was talking about the grave threats to religious liberty in American schools. And so he's talking about directing the Department of Education to initiate new guidelines to create the right to pray in public schools. The Supreme Court's already ruled on this. And I know we have a totally new Supreme Court, and I guess a lot of stuff is going to go back to the Supreme Court because of that. But I don't like this disregard for the Constitution, and I don't like this pseudo impression that putting prayer in public schools is somehow going to solve problems. And, you know, when prayer was taken out of public schools in 1962, there are people to this day who say, well, yeah, that's when America started going to hell. Well, you know, I did research and actually wrote a blog about this, and we talked about it one day. There was a lot going on in 1962. In terms of our country and the direction of our country, there was a lot going on. Things were changing. And it really wasn't this flashpoint in time, removing the prayer from public school, that was the catalyst. There were other things going on that were the catalyst for change that led us to the society that can be criticized in some ways. But I don't even want to get to this today. So we will talk about it tomorrow. And yeah, I think this really does indicate that I really don't want to talk about Trump if I don't have to. I would much rather talk about other things, but sometimes stuff comes up in the news, and when it involves Americans, when it involves freedom of speech and things like that, I feel like we have to talk about it. So we'll do that on the show tomorrow, but let's get through this Monday and not talk too much about politics. If you do want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And we can still talk about the Saints yesterday. Really disappointing, but there were some positive things. So what do you want to say about the Saints' last-minute loss to the Cardinals? And the Saints kept our hope alive to the very last tick on the clock. And they came back, and I thought Spencer Rattler did a good job. But there was a guy behind me, Rattler, you suck! But I thought they did a good job. And again, remember, the Ravens lost last night, and it looked like they were going to win, and they lost. But Spencer Rattler brought the Saints back, and they were in a position to win. But again, you know, if you get both hands on the ball, it's your job and you're paid millions to catch it. You got to catch it. I know you're a human, but there are some things that you're expected to do as a human being, and you got to catch the ball. And I guess the thing that bothers me about Juwan Johnson is that he has had a pattern of dropping passes. Now, he did good in the game yesterday up until that point, but, you know, over the years, he's dropped a lot of passes that were right in his hands. And so that's something that concerned me about that. All right. Before we get to your calls, and Ian's got more of your text messages, I want to go to break with this song that Lady Gaga did on the MTV Video Music Awards, The Death Dance. And I'm telling you, if you get a chance to check out the video, Lady Gaga was absolutely creepy last night. And she won the award for Artist of the Year. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWE.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the great moments of the MTV Video Music Awards last night came with the tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Man, this guy Youngblood, who sang some Ozzy songs, this guy, man, this dude is a stud. This guy, great hair. This guy, I mean, he is one hell of a singer. And Youngblood joined Steven Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith to do this Ozzy song, Mama, I'm Coming Home, to pay tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. And I saw those old clips of Ozzy, and I just was just thinking about what a legend Ozzy Osbourne was. And his legend continues. And I just realized how fortunate I was in my career to sit down with Ozzy Osbourne and meet him and just sit right there with him and do an interview with him. And it was a TV interview I did for Channel 5 in Mobile, Pensacola, WKRG-TV, when I was doing a morning show on radio and doing TV there. And I need to try and see if I can get a hold of some of those interviews. And if I can, I'll post them on SOTA social media. But I just realized how fortunate I am in my career that I had a chance to meet Ozzy and sit down and have a conversation with him. All right, so let's get to a few calls. Let's go to Frank, Long Island. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
How are you? I want to talk about the Saints, but before that, you hit a sore subject of mine, you know, where they say it's only one play, you know, they're only down one play with the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
And Ian even hit it more. You know the Super Bowl pools they have, you know, local bars and everything?
Yeah.
4 years ago and 3 years ago, I'm in a pool with my buddy in New Orleans, a local Italian restaurant over here, where all I needed was the extra point 2 years in a row for $50,000 I was going to split. And
wow,
they missed the extra point both times.
Wow.
So that's a pet peeve of mine. 2 years in a row.
Yeah, when there's a two-point or even an extra point, but especially a two-point conversion, I don't like it when they say it's a one-score game. It's not a one-score game.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the one good thing I got, I watch it, I think we talked about it many times. I watch it in a local sports bar that over here. Fantastic. I'm 20 TVs. And I'm watching it there, but I'm not listening to it because I got the Jets or the Giants game on, right? And Nikki and I, my son and I, we're there all dressed up, Saints and everything, uniform. I got Tyson Hill. He's got a throwback Archie Manning shirt on that I bought him years ago. And we're there rooting. And I'm screaming about how great the defense is. And people are laughing at me. I said, you guys don't understand. Last year, the year before, all they did was bump. And they got, you know, the guy got an extra 4 or 5 yards. But they actually tackled yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that too.
I was pretty pleased with that.
You know, the defense wasn't bad. I mean, we were in that game. We got some things to straighten out, but let's see if those things straighten out. Let's see if San Francisco comes to town a little bit complacent after their come from behind victory over the Seahawks. And Saints could win. I'm going to be positive.
I just hope it doesn't come back to haunt us this game. Because that was a win that we should have won that game. But it is what it is. That's why they play the game.
I know. All
you
right,
take
Frank.
Care of yourself.
Buddy. All right. Thanks for listening in Long Island. Let's go to Chalmette. Jared, you're on WWL. Oh, Gerard, welcome to the show.
Gerard. Hey, school. Thank you, man. Earlier you said these guys practice. He should have caught that ball because they practice. Well, you ever heard the term practice makes perfect? Well, practice don't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You know, so
yeah.
Unless these guys ain't practicing perfect, they're not going to make that kind of catch. And another thing, I'm a truck driver. I'm in and out of the truck. I don't know if you guys covered this, but that Chris Olave catch, they ruled the catch, and then they looked at it, and they said, oh, it wasn't a catch. He dropped it. I think that was a ripoff. That was a catch.
Yeah, I thought there were a couple of times that the officials went out of their way to rule against the Saints, and it's just very, very discouraging. And it really discouraging, and I don't like it. It's not fair, Gerard. I appreciate the call, but I still think there should have been a review or something with that that catch in the end zone. I mean, I thought it was a catch. I was right there, first row, right. I was on about the, I guess it was on about the 5-4 yard line, and so I was really close to the almost on the line there, and it happened right in front of me. And it's you all have seen the replays. If you weren't in the dome, and if you weren't in that location in the dome, you certainly saw the replays over and over again. It looked like a catch to me, but again, if you just hold the ball to the end and it doesn't pop out, then there's no questions to be asked about it. And you know, the Saints are going to have some really tough games ahead, tougher than the game yesterday. So when you come so close to winning, that's when you need that killer instinct. And it just seemed like I don't know how to describe it, and I don't want to be overcritical here, but there just doesn't seem to be a buzz on the Saints sideline. And that really hit me yesterday because I was right behind the Saints bench yesterday. And it really hit me because last night when I was watching Sunday Night Football, and I heard the sideline reporter say, they're really jacked up or something like that. They're really jacked up and passionate on the Ravens sideline after they had scored a touchdown or when they were marching or something like that. And I don't see that. And I don't know if I know exactly what that looks like, but you know, the Saints have had a history of complacency, even in the dome, a history of complacency, and fans pick up on it. Fans see it too. You sense it. I mean, it may seem like an invisible, intangible, but it's very tangible. And again, but the Saints did have a killer instinct in the closing moments. And in the late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, the dome fell silent. I mean, fans were not making noise when the Cardinals were in the huddle. They weren't making noise when they got to the line. And then the Saints started to move in about 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes left in the game. And man, the dome was exploding. They were making a lot of noise because they could sense the Saints were coming back. So, you know, I know the fans need to cheer, but the Saints have to give them a reason to cheer. And there were times in the third quarter and early in the fourth quarter when there wasn't a lot to cheer about. And it just seemed like the whole thing was slipping away. But anyway, I am as encouraged as I am disappointed in the way the game ended. All right, we're going to come back and get to some of your text messages. Last night at the MTV Video Music Awards, the best R&B performance went to Mariah Carey for this song, Type Dangerous. She is, beautiful. She's a little older, but she's still beautiful. She's got an incredible voice, but I just have no interest in Mariah Carey whatsoever. There's nothing definable about her to me. She's bland. If you love her, I'm not criticizing you. There's a lot of reasons to love Mariah Carey, but I got to be honest with you. There's nothing there that makes me, excited about Mariah Carey. And all of her songs they don't stand out to me. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. And we have learned that Rick Davies of Supertramp passed away Saturday, but we're just getting the news today. Rick was 81 years old, and Supertramp was one of those super groups. Breakfast in America, really one of the classic rock albums of all time. And early in my career, I remember playing these guys on the radio. I'm Scoot. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's the text message that says, Spencer Rattler played his ass off. He played about as well as he could, but face it, he's not a starting NFL quarterback. Also, I love your optimism every week, but it begins to ring hollow when most Mondays, all we hear about is how many things went against the Saints and how hard they played. Hell, they're supposed to play hard. They're paid well. The rebuild this year should have begun 3 years ago when Breeze left. We'd be in a better position by now.
Okay, so that's true, but it didn't happen, and you and I didn't make that decision. I would have made that decision a long time ago, but you and I didn't make that decision. So the rebuilding begins now, and I'm not overly optimistic. I'm realistically optimistic about Spencer Rattler. He is technically a starting quarterback in the NFL. And there were other quarterbacks that did a lot worse than he did. It wasn't a perfect game by any means, but he did get the team down the field. Let's see what happens. Tyler Shuck is there. Let's see, you know, if there's a moment when he comes in and takes over. And I don't want to make that prediction. I want to be behind Spencer Rattler and give him this chance. He brought the Saints back. We would not be having a conversation. People would not be saying negative things about Spencer Rattler if Juwan Johnson had held on to that ball. If he would have held on to that ball, the talk would be about Spencer Rattler brought the Saints back. But what happened is not the fault of Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler put it right in his hands. And he dropped it. I thought it was a catch. But he didn't hold on to the ball. But that has nothing to do with Spencer Rattler. So, you know, again, the quarterback gets the target of it becomes the target of the frustration, but that's not necessarily fair. It's a team effort, and there were a lot of things that went wrong, and it is a rebuilding year. It's the first year of Kellen Moore. So I think it's worth giving them a chance. You know, there are times that, you know, I'm not as optimistic as I am sometimes with the Saints because I'm realistic. But I really did believe that they had a chance to beat the Cardinals, and I've said that on Friday. And well, they almost beat the Cardinals. They almost beat the Cardinals. So that's all you can hope for, really.
Lots more text in here about Lamar Jackson. Sal is listening today. Sal says, the problem with the NFL not penalizing Lamar is if a future player retaliated and injured a fan, they would be sued for condoning that behavior in the past. That's what our society has come to. You can't do the right thing without risking future consequences.
Well, you know, I don't think you can worry about that. I think Lamar Jackson did the right thing pushing that fan. And if that fan got injured, it's the fan's fault. The fan, you want to say attacked? Okay, you can say attacked. He pushed the helmet of DeAndre Hopkins, and then he pushed the helmet of Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson instinctively turned and pushed the fan and knocked him on his ass. If the fan was injured and he wants to sue, fine. Let's go to court. If I were in that court and I were defending Lamar Jackson, I would have brought up the behavior of this guy and how he initiated what happened. And that person, that blondie boy in the stands, got what he deserved, which was a vicious push from Lamar Jackson.
Here's a text that says, do you feel the same way when someone physically interferes with an arrest and the cop puts that person on their ass?
It's a different situation.
I don't know why they would text that.
I mean, why that has nothing to do with this. I mean, of course, you got to comply with the police. But that's not even close to this situation. We're talking about a game. We're talking about a sport. And that little blondie guy in the stands, probably in his 20s, maybe early 30s. And, you know, he went out of his way to be aggressive. And so somebody retaliated. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, you know, I would have also applauded Lamar Jackson if he would have, you know, been, you know, cool enough to go, hey, you know what? You're the punk, not me. I'm not doing anything. But I don't care that he punched that guy in the stand. Not punched you, but that he shoved that guy in the stands.
I would be very curious to know what that texter thought, what point they were making.
I know. That's not even, you know, people just try to be angry, and they try to, yeah, well, what do you think about,
well,
what if it was a cop?
What if it was a cop? We'd be having a different conversation, idiot.
Do you realize the people that call or text and do that, we have an answer for them every single time, and they're the ones that look foolish. Every time. The amount of times that we do this is unbelievable. It's beautiful. And nobody has ever seen this happen on radio before. Nobody's ever seen this before on radio. But every time they do that, we have an answer for them. And it's just stupidity.
They're like, oh, I guess you think Donald Trump's in the Epstein files. I guess you think Bill Clinton should go to jail too, huh?
Yeah, I guess you think...
Yes! Yes!
Yes.
Anyway, a couple more. Here's the text that says, he patted his head. He did not push him. Post-game, he said he was wrong. Do some research.
He shoved
Lamar
him.
Lamar said he was wrong in the post-game press conference. Yeah, well, because he's trying not to get fined.
Yeah.
You know, just because he was like, my emotions got the best of me. That's what he's got to say because that's what the NFL wants him to say.
But the guy's in game mode. I mean, he's being hit. He is hitting people. He's in game mode, and you're going to shove his helmet and not expect to get shoved back?
Ridiculous. About the Saints, I'll leave you with this one. James on the North Shore says, we're still tied with more than half of the division. So that's a plus.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I guess the Tampa Bay Bucks are the only team that's in the lead. I love that the Falcons lost, too. All right. The Video of the Year Award went to Ariana Grande for Brighter Days Ahead last night at the MTV Video Music Awards. I remember the year that I went to that in Los Angeles. And, man, that was one of the highlights of my career, going to that show. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. We would be wishing Benjamin Orr, one of the lead singers of The Cars, happy birthday today. He would be 78, but he died in 2000. The Cars were one of those interesting bands that had, more than one. They had like two primary lead singers, Benjamin Orr and Rick Ocasek. All right, I'm Scoot. The second guest show with Mike and Bobby coming up next, live from the Silver Slipper Casino in lovely Bay St. Louis. I'll talk about the Saints and LSU. And hey, congratulations to Tulane coming back to win their game as well. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, and Traffic with Core DP. As always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. Join me on Substack and Scoot on the Air, Facebook and Instagram. And please respond to the videos that we post. Love you, New Orleans.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.